Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Support for Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast, is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision, engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Manscaped just launched in the UK and Europe, and you guys have gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can be one of the first men in England to experience their life-changing products. Listen, we've all gone through it. A lot of us men have tried to do this. We've used our beard trimmers, and we've tried to shave our nuts and ended up with nicks and cuts and almost slicing our ball sack open and seeing our balls drop to the ground like some marbles. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's painful. It's traumatic. And what were we going to do? There was nothing else. I mean, I've tried everything at my disposal to shave my nuts and make them look nice, and I couldn't find anything. I tried the beard trimmer. I tried a regular, shaver. I tried scissors. I tried tweezers. I tried a weed whacker. Nothing worked. And I was afraid that this was going to be my situation for the rest of my life. I couldn't live my life knowing that there was not going to be something that I could use to shave my balls and leave them properly groomed. It was something, you know, why did men not have these contraptions? Women have all these things that were made for them, but guys didn't. But see, that's why Manscaped is a lifesaver for all you men out there. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team perfected what is the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK and in Europe. I mean, let's be honest, in the US we've had it for quite some time now. We just, you know, we slow things down for everybody overseas. But their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. And when I tell you it's premium, it's premium. This battery will last you up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. And let's be honest, 90 minutes is a long time. If you need 90 minutes to shave your ball hair, you definitely might want to look into a weed whacker or some other sort of industrial style contraption. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for closer and more precise trimming. It also helps if there's a power outage. You can use it to search for your, you know, belongings, to guide you to safety, and to shave your nuts if there is in fact a blackout. Look, they've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with Quiet Stroke technology. I like the name Quiet Stroke, but it's not for the same reason. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. Just plug it in wherever you plug your phone. It's easy as that. And leave your shaver always having the power it needs to get to those really, really tough, you know, shave your ball sack areas. All right. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Let's get that bush to tush clean, guys. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. Make your testies their besties. Yup, Manscaped wants to be best friends with your nuts. And let them. It ain't weird. Don't make it weird. Get 20% off and free shipping with code YNM at manscaped.com. And that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code YNM. Your balls will thank you.
This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right. right, what is going on, everybody? It seems like it's been a long time since we've spoken. Welcome to the Nada Mas podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it is a pleasure to be here today. And yes, many of you have commented on Twitter, on football Twitter. First of all, thank you to everyone that follows me on football Twitter. Thank you to my good friend Trombach out there in India, who's been writing for us. You know, we just had a video chat via Zoom. It's amazing what you can do with technology these days, right? You can connect with people all over the world. Shout out to just a lot of great people out there. A lot of good people doing providing some great information on Twitter. So I would recommend them. I follow guys like the Real Champs. They're the Real Madrid blog and website from Fansided. So check them out. The Real Champs. Also the Happy Madridista. Shout out to Happy Madridista. He's from Denmark, living it up in Malta. Trombach, my good friend Trombach, follow him at RMCF Tram. He is definitely somebody to follow. He's always helping me out with information on Madrid. He's living it up over there. He's in India and helping me spread the word of Madrid out there in India as well. There's just a lot of good people out there on football Twitter, although, you know, there are some crazy Madridistas that get angry at everything, but that's what it is, man. We're fervent, diehard fans. Besides that, you can always follow me on Nada Mas Podcast, at Nada Mas Podcast, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can also follow me, where else can you follow me? Oh, yeah, so I have this new project going on, which is with my good friend Jota Real Madrid. Jota Real Madrid is Dr. Jota Football and Fun. Jota Real Madrid, he's known for, he does these, you know, he does like four or five news articles a day, and basically does like these news videos on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel, has hundreds of thousands of subscribers, actually. And he does all of his news in Spanish. What I did was I joined up with him and we created Real Madrid Hub. And Real Madrid Hub is actually a joint effort between him and myself and my team here that edits some of the videos for us and stuff like that to get you some like up-to-date information daily on what's going on with Real Madrid. And obviously this last week has been like a whirlwind of news. A lot of, you know, with transfers going on, it's a lot of like he said, she said kind of crap. We don't know who's telling us the right thing and who's telling us the wrong thing, whatever. But there's a lot of information out there. So we're just trying to keep you guys updated with what's been going on with Real Madrid, whether they're winning, they're losing, whatever. And, you know, when we had that dreadful loss against Sede Alcoyano in Copa del Rey, which is, you know, eliminated us from Copa del Rey, I did a quick, and I'll probably do this sometimes. I want to jump on and do some quick video sort of reactions to the game. So I did my first. So you can check that out at Real Madrid Hub. I did my first. It's called Ridiculous and Embarrassing, which is talking about, obviously, the game. But it was the first one I actually, you know, showed my face and had the video of what I have here in my little studio. So I'm going to try to do more of those. And then eventually, you know, as time goes on, we want to also bring in other people to do like chats and stuff while we're maybe watching the game or maybe discussing like a reaction after the game, whatever we can do. So a lot of good stuff happening, and I appreciate the support from all you guys. I appreciate, you know, the team appreciates the support. I have my guys, if you guys follow me on Instagram, if you follow me on Twitter and Facebook, on Twitter, mostly that's me. I would say all of the time, really. On Facebook and Instagram, I have one guy that's posting those things, but he's also helping me with designs and stuff. So some of that stuff you see is from him. And then the website, which I need to update. It's been like a week, but my guy's been out. So it's about three of us, but really most of the time it's me. They're just helping me with some of the technical stuff. They're not all of them are huge football fans. So they're just helping me with more of the technical aspects. But so it's me, and then now I got Jota Real Madrid helping me out with this new channel, Real Madrid Hub. So please check it out. I think you guys will enjoy it. Like I said, it's 2-3 minutes, sometimes 4-minute videos of the news of the day, translating some of the stuff that's coming out. of you know, the different websites in Spain. So for you that, for you guys that don't speak Spanish, you know, Jota's from Spain. My background, you know, my family's from Colombia, so we both speak the language. And what we try to do is translate some of that stuff for you guys that's coming in from some of those big articles, which are obviously some of them are more reputable than others. You know, we do get stuff from El Chiringuito and things like that, but El Chiringuito isn't always reliable. But, you know, they're more of an entertainment show, and I do enjoy them sometimes, and sometimes I just want to punch all of them. So so with that said, let's get started. I mean, what can be said? I mean, I did that reaction. Like, if you want to hear my reaction to the Sede Alcoyano game, like I said, go check that video out. It's called Ridiculous and Embarrassing on Real Madrid Hub. So what I want to talk about really is, I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff going on this week. It's been crazy, and I'm pretty sure you guys that are really on top of things are following all of it. And if you're not, that's fine. That's what I try to do on a weekly basis, is kind of do a little bit of put everything together that's going on. So it's actually Sunday right now. All the games have ended. I was going to do this a little earlier, but I wanted to see the results, obviously, of the Barcelona and Atletico game. Mostly the Atletico, of course, because they are the ones that we're essentially chasing for La Liga. So here's the thing. I think a lot of us, before I get into the game yesterday versus Alaves, you know, some of the things I read from Madridistas is there's a lot of people who, like I say, there's a lot of you guys that are totally reactionary, and I can be that way too. You know, especially after a game that we lose, it's like you want everybody to just, you know, get off the team, and you want to hire all the players that are scoring goals and things like that. But we have to look at things in perspective. You know, we have to look at things in perspective. And really, I mean, I say it myself. I'm not trying to defend Zidane or say that there is a legitimate reason for that loss against Alcoyano. There really isn't, you know. And Jota Real Madrid brought up a good point, which I didn't bring up in my video, but it was really that, you know, not only are there players that simply don't belong on the team that I feel that don't belong on the team, also there are players. I also feel that Zidane's tactics are lacking in the sense that he seems, and I don't think, honestly, man, Zidane was one of the best players the world has seen. You know, he is considered one of the best midfielders of all time, won the World Cup, has, you know, he's done a lot of amazing things, you know, in his career. So to say that he doesn't have the tactical acumen to run a team, especially when considering he won three back-to-back Champions Leagues, it can't only be about Ronaldo. Yes, Ronaldo is a huge reason for those wins, but at the same time he had the tactical acumen and knew how to manage the players and knew how to manage the team, and you know, and probably what it was, and this is what I believe in, is here's the thing: a lot of managers have their way of playing and have their ideas of how they want to approach football. There's a certain style they want. And, you know, there's a certain way they like to play, probably because that's how they played in their day, probably because that's how they felt more. That's what they feel more comfortable with. Or like Zidane, he got a lot of results from that. Now, the problem is many of us, and I think in real life, this applies to any of us. Change is something that is hard for a lot of people. Change is something that nobody really likes change. I mean, it is important for us to change and to evolve, because even though it might be scary or it's something that we're worried about, at many times it's necessary. And then once you make the change, you realize, I don't know why I didn't do this sooner, you know? And I think Zidane is definitely stuck tactically in this idea of how he used to play and how he got those championships. And he's struggling. What's happening is he's struggling to find a way to bring in the youth players that he's been given that do have talent. Some do, some don't. Or I wouldn't say, I mean, they all do. But some fit the system and some don't fit the system. Some will fit his style and some won't fit his style. And this isn't only Zidane. Like if we were to kick out Zidane tomorrow, right? And bring in a new coach. I mean, and this happens with all the great coaches, guys. You see guys like Mourinho, you see guys like Ancelotti, you see guys like Klopp, you know, what's his name? Allegri, all these kind of big name managers all have their style of play. And sometimes with as good as a player is, some of them may not fit into that system. And for some reason, you know, they don't find their best form in that system. Or they maybe are a player that maybe their style, maybe their attitude, maybe whatever it is, doesn't mesh well with the coach. And that happens. I mean, so a lot of you, I know that a lot of people that listen to this podcast, and I've seen a lot of you guys on football Twitter, a lot of you, some of you guys are young, some of you guys are, you know, in your 20s, you know, whatever. But it's very similar to, let's just be real. I mean, football is a business. You run it on, there is a lot of emotions involved, but with the way they run a club is like a business. And emotion has to be a lot of times taken out of it. And as much as, you know, we as fans might like players, we as fans might want something, you're not going to get it a lot of times because, once again, it's a business. And it goes on who's, you know, it's going to be, you know, winning is important because winning helps make money. It keeps you guys happy. It keeps me happy, you know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, when it's kind of like anytime there's I've suffered this personally. Like, I worked at a corporation, gotten hired, and then all of a sudden the guy who hired me, you know, for the position was fired, you know, and they bring in a new guy. And because I was this, and because the old guy fired me, I mean, sorry, so the old guy that got canned basically was the one who hired me. Now I'm in a situation where the new guy is looking at me like, you know, this guy was hired by the old team. I don't know if I want him on my team, you know? And maybe the style that he has is very different from the style that you and the old boss saw eye to eye on, you know? And that happened to me. And I ended up, you know, struggling with this new boss, not because I, you know, didn't have the talent or felt I didn't have the talent. Obviously, I felt I did the job to the best of my ability, but it was just not to that guy's liking. And I found myself constantly clashing heads to a point where I decided to leave, you know? So equate that to maybe the situation currently with Odegaard, the situation with Jovic, the situation with players where they feel like, you know, I'm not seeing eye to eye with this guy, in the case, this guy being Zidane. I need to find somewhere else to go. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that what Zidane is doing with the youth is not good. No, and has not been a good thing. Now, I defended him at the beginning, but as we are seeing the season go on, and as we are seeing things like happen at Sede Alcoyano, it's becoming obviously more and more apparent as time goes on that there is a favoritism. And more so than favoritism, what I dislike a lot is stubbornness, the stubbornness to evolve, even in the face of defeat or the face of people showing you like, hey, man, things aren't going well right now, you know? And even if we get results, like the ones against Alaves, even if we get results, the results need to be sustainable. So here's the other thing. We obviously, being Madrid fans, we're very, we're very demanding. But a lot of you guys also have to be grounded in reality. There is no team, very few teams, that are going to go undefeated for an entire season. There are very few teams that are going to win back-to-back championships, which is why it was so amazing what Real Madrid did with the three-peat of the Champions League, and why, you know, so many people, you know, that's sure Cristiano Ronaldo's doing, because he is still an incredibly talented player. But remember, this isn't a game of one player. It's a game of 11 different players on the field. Up to, 23 people that are on the squad list. I mean, there is a concerted team effort at the end of the day. So you can say that it was because it was Ronaldo. No, it was because of a combination of factors. You had Ronaldo, but then you had younger Modric, younger Casemiro, younger Kroos, younger Sergio Ramos. Carvajal, with, you know, not suffering from multiple multiple injuries. You know, you had a Gareth Bale who was on fire. You had a Karim Benzema who was also younger and on fire, in addition to having one of the greatest players of all time. So you have all those combinations, all those factors combine into what is ends up being a team that will win you multiple championships back to back. And the thing is, Zidane was brought on, so they bring on Lopetegui, they bring in Solari, and none of these guys worked out enough to the point where it's just the thing is, this is Real Madrid. People have, the board and the fans have very little patience. I mean, I see people talking about Solari and they should have given Solari more time and it takes time to implement, new tactics and new systems and new things like that. But we've seen that happen, and Real Madrid is not a team that's going to give you time. You know, if you come into Real Madrid, if any coach comes into Real Madrid and win and loses like five games in a row, I'd be surprised if they'd make it. You know, if they lose, I don't know, three games in a row, people would already be like, yeah, this isn't working. You know? It's kind of like Madrid is, not kind of, it is. Madrid is a team where you have to come in and hit the ground running. You have to come in and showcase everything you have and be the best at the job from the get-go. And that's why it is so difficult for youngsters, too, to come into this team and all of a sudden make an impact. And then on top of that, you have a So speaking of the current situation, on top of the incredible amount of pressure that it is being a Real Madrid player, not only from the fact that it's Real Madrid, the name, the brand itself only, and not only from the fact that Florentino and the board are going to be looking at you now that they paid how God knows how much money for you, but what's going to happen is the Spanish media is relentless, and they are relentless with two teams, Barcelona and Real Madrid. But I would venture to say that they are absolutely the most cutthroat with Madrid. There is no amount of hatred and vitriol. I mean, I don't think there's any more hatred and vitriol thrown at a team than the amount of hatred and vitriol that is thrown at Real Madrid. Because, I mean, say it because it's their, because they're the best, because there is a legacy of being a team that was quote unquote part of a, you know, authoritarian regime, you know, as silly as it is, but there's still people that believe that, because it's, if you read the history, it's not true. I mean, it existed, that did happen. There was a dictatorship, but it wasn't like Franco was running around watching Real Madrid games, and his entire reason for trying to oppress the populace was because he wanted Real Madrid to win. No. You know, so there is this already, you know, and it's also people that are, you know, anti-government, or, you know, there's a whole political, sort of a political undercurrent there of people, you know, in Spain that kind of see them maybe as the establishment team. And, you know, there's a lot of and I'm going into politics right now, but there's a lot of anti-establishment sentiment going on around the world currently, you know. And for the team to be quote-unquote part of the establishment, then, you know, there's a lot of hatred and vitriol. And then there's a lot of hatred and vitriol that just comes from the fact that you are the team that has won the most. And then supposedly VAR helps us, even though they were the teams that have, you know, received the most penalties, right, this season. That they don't make calls. They could basically almost chop Hazard's leg off in a game and injure him, but that doesn't get called. But Luis Suarez dives in the middle of in a game just this weekend, or just this past week, and it's a penalty, you know. So depending on where you sit, you know, on the, who's your favorite team, you're going to run into this, you're going to have your feelings towards Real Madrid one way or another. And this goes back to the, to, to what I was talking about with the media, is that the media in Spain is relentless. So if you are, and like I said, there's a lot of hatred and vitriol. So if you are part of Real Madrid, they are going to be looking at you from the beginning, you know, and pressuring you. I mean, there is a lot, listen, there was a lot of pressure placed on Luka Jovic. There was a lot of pressure and still is a lot of pressure placed on Vinicius, almost to the point of him being a meme, you know, about, you know, his failure in the final third, his ability to dribble and run very fast, but what seemingly seems like nothing else, you know, and those are their words, not mine, you know. There's a lot of pressure. So being a young player, especially what comes with also being young as it is that you're highly impressionable, and you guys that are young probably think you know everything in the world, but I guarantee you that when you get older, you start realizing, trust me, man, I look at the times when I was 20 and I was like, damn, man, I was a damn fool, you know? So there are times, there are things that you go learning and you realize, man, you know, and that's why we see players evolve, you know, a lot of players evolve. Some of those players that had like behavioral issues at the beginning of their career don't have them as much when they're older, you know? Because you evolve. You evolve as a human being, but you also evolve as a player. And that's very difficult to do when there's so much pressure on you. It can break you. How many times have we seen players that have come to Barcelona and Real Madrid that are just absolutely hyped up, and then they are just, when they come to Real Madrid or they come to Barcelona or they come to any big team, say Manchester United, I don't know, Juventus, Liverpool, you know, just any of the big teams, you know, Chelsea, whatever. And they don't perform for some reason. They were hyped up as the next big thing, and then they just don't make it, you know? And is that necessarily because they didn't have the talent? No, the talent was there. Was the talent maybe overhyped? Sometimes, yeah. But was the talent also maybe destroyed by the pressure? That I think that's more, a lot of times, more of the reality. Is a lot of times the players might be incredibly good playing in a league that may not be as cutthroat or as tough. Let's say a league maybe like the Dutch league, you know, or Turkey, and they're blowing up in those countries, right? But then they come to the bigger leagues, you know, the leagues such as like Serie A, the Premier League, La Liga, Ligue 1, if you want to bring them into, you know, the bigger teams like Lyon and PSG. Those teams are all going to have a lot of people looking at them, you know, and the pressure becomes very tough. And it's also because of this, you know, I've seen it happen too, you know, in a lot of sports we see it. It's, and I've heard it from friends of mine that have played professionally in different sports. It's also the fact that, you know, when you might be the bomb, all right? You might be the bomb in high school. Like, you were an amazing high school soccer player, right? Then you were like an amazing, you know, and I'm talking about the US system of things, right? So you were an amazing soccer player in high school. You were an amazing soccer player in college. And then you go to the big leagues, and you know, I don't know. I'm not going to use MLS as like an example, but the way I've seen it, and I want to compare it to how it is in you know, right now. I'll compare it how it is in Europe. I'm sorry. So football, right? Football, American football, like the NFL. The NFL is one of is known for being extremely tough, right? And football, like American football practice, at any level, starting from kids, is known for being very, very tough and very demanding. You know, they have two-a-days, you know, a lot of running, a lot of sprinting, a lot of weight training, a lot of, you know, pushing, pulling, plyometric exercises, very explosive, you know. So there are players that were amazing in high school. They get recruited and they go to college, and then they're amazing in college, absolute world beaters in college, right? But then they get to the NFL and they realize that they are no longer the only guys that were the best in high school and college. There are hundreds of kids, now guys, now men, right, that are bigger, faster, stronger, and want it just as much as you or more than you. And everything mom, dad, your teachers, your coaches in high school and football, high school and college football told you, you know, that you were going to be the next big thing doesn't mean shit when you arrive to the professional level, right? And so that's the same thing that I think happens when we look at what happens to a lot of youth players in the youth systems in football, especially in Europe, and especially coming up, let's say, through leagues, through the league, in La Liga, in Premier League, is, sure, you might have been good in, you know, you might have been good in high school, you might have been good in college, or you might have been good in your club team at, you know, the under 16 and then the under 23, you know, or whatever, you know, the under the under 10s, I don't know, as they go through the systems, you know, the under 16s, the under 19. So you might have been great in those smaller ones. And then you might have been great playing in, you know, in the championship or less, I would say, you know, third division of the EFL or whatever. And, you know, it becomes that, is that you were seen as the next big thing. And now when a team calls you up and you are next to, let's say in Real Madrid, somebody calls you up and you just got called up from a Deportivo La Coruña, let's say, right? And you got called up because you were the, you know, you were the hot shit. Everybody was saying that you were the tough, you know, you were the new kid that had a lot of talent. And you now are standing next to Sergio Ramos, Karim Benzema, Modric, Kroos, Zinedine Zidane is your coach. You know, the team is expected to win everything. The team is expected to lose nothing. The team is expected to score a lot of goals. And you are expected to perform at that level day in and day out, every single day of your life, for the remainder of your contract. And not only that, the media is going to be on your ass every single day. That is not easy for any youth player, guys. That is not easy for any of them. So what this all goes to is Zidane's system of bringing up the youth players. I don't think he's the only one to blame. Sure, I think it's part to blame, because the confidence issue is the one thing you want to have is confidence from your coach. But there's also a stubbornness in him that is not allowing him to want to break away from the guys that got him all the glory. And so I think what happens is, and this happens with, like I said, it goes back to that Real Madrid, you know, we want instant gratification because we demand instant gratification, is you come in, you have one bad game. Oh, maybe we'll you know, he's new to the game. We'll give him another chance. Second game, you have a bad game. Yeah. Next time you'll come in as a substitute. Third game, you have a bad game when you come in as a substitute. All right, we'll give you one more rollout. Fourth game, and that's it. I think you're done. You might be done in the eyes of the coach. You know? At least now it's every other game he might bring you on as a sub. And then it starts going down and down and down and down. And the guys that have been reliable day in and day out for the past 8, 10 years, or not even, five years, those are the guys that are going to get the chances, you know? And that's what's happening too. And Zidane doesn't want to, Zidane just, you know, I think with him, his stubbornness is even quicker. He sees one thing he doesn't like and then automatically, boom, that's it. This guy's done for me. Because I have a feeling that that's what happened with Odegaard. It seems like Odegaard was starting games, and then there was that one game. I do not remember what game it was, but that was that one game. I think it was, I don't know if it was in the Champions League. I don't know if it was against Shakhtar. I don't remember which one it was, but I was seeing a video of it the other day where they were showing Zidane yelling at Martin Odegaard because he didn't track back. And when he didn't track back, the player that he was supposed to be tracking was the one who ended up scoring. And I think it might have been Shakhtar, if I'm not mistaken. But ever since those games, and then obviously the injuries, I think that relationship kind of went downhill. It was like, nah, man, I don't see anything in this. And that's the thing. You know, that's why I believe there's a little bit of an arrogance, or a lot of an arrogance, and a stubbornness too, where it's just like, you know, it's almost like I gave you one chance, or I've given you a couple of chances, and you look like total crap in this game. You didn't listen to what I said, and now you're on my shit list. And by shit list means I'm not going to play you till maybe I want to, you know? And guys, this is a business, you know, and that happens. Don isn't the first coach to do that, you know. And listen, I'll tell you, when I was kickboxing and fighting, and I didn't get to a very high level at kickboxing and fighting, but I was able to coach and train with guys that were at very high levels of kickboxing and fighting. When, you know, I've trained with MMA fighters. I've trained that fought in the UFC, that fought in Bellator and fought in these other, you know, major organizations. I've seen some of the way some of these guys train, and I've seen some of the coaches, and the coaches will straight up yell at you, treat you like garbage. You know, you're not good enough. They'll break you down. Some are good. Some are bad. Some are better at dealing with people and some are not. So, Zidane is a good man manager, but he might be with the guys that are, I had a good coach when I was training for fights. But he was only good with guys who already had experience, because he wasn't going to sit there and teach you how to throw a jab and show you how to throw a cross, and, you know, and show you to do an uppercut. Like, he was beyond that. He wasn't going to baby you, you know? So he was good with guys that were already established, but he was not good with guys that were brand new. If anything, he would like mock them, tell them that they were idiots. Why are you so uncoordinated? Things like that. You know, and when you're coming to Real Madrid, it's expected you already have a level of football where Zidane isn't going to have to baby you, and neither are the rest of the players. And like I said, I think there's an arrogance there where Zidane was just like, gave them a couple roles out on the field and then just decided, nope, these are not the guys I want to play with. And that is where I did a report earlier about Real Madrid Hub on Real Madrid Hub about how, basically, you know, he's at odds with the club, because the club now, and we're seeing a lot of reports about the financial situation of the club. You know, the club did turn a profit, wasn't one of the few clubs that actually profited, but it was like, what, 300 something thousand euros, which isn't a lot of money considering, what these teams, you know, make or spend. Basically saying that it's financially, in a lot of ways, it would be financially irresponsible to bring in guys like an Mbappe or a Haaland, unless you offloaded a ton of players, you know. Now, are there players that we can offload? Sure. But there is something there, once again, where Zidane is keeping a lot of guys that don't need to be there. We don't even know if it's only Zidane. A lot of people like to put it on his shoulders, but we don't know whether it's him or it's decisions by the board that are lagging behind, and, you know, who should we get rid of? And then Zidane is also saying, you know, that he wants to keep these guys. I mean, there's this whole idea of the insistence that the club doesn't understand why he insists on keeping Lucas Vázquez. Neither do I, you know. I read like a Real Madrid, a Twitter thread from someone who I guess was a Lucas Vázquez fan, saying you kind of want those players, those squad players, those industrious, hardworking players on your squad. Sure, you do want them, but he's asking for a raise during a pandemic when the club is in financial, you know, having a rough financial situation. I wouldn't give him what he wants. It's like, you either deal with it or you move on. There are other people that want to come to Real Madrid. And the team has invested in players such as Rodrigo, Ibrahim, in Kubo, that's at Getafe. And I've really liked what Kubo's doing. I really like him as a player. I think he's got a lot of talent. You know, you have all these guys, you know, there was reports today that they want to bring back Reguilón. They wouldn't want to pay his 45 million to bring him back. So there are a lot of things that are sort of the club wants to bring back some of these youth players. And maybe, and my belief is this, my belief is that Zidane probably will be done at the end of the season, if not sooner, because like I say, things can change all the time. They can say as much as they want that he's not going to be done until the end of the season because it might be chaotic to get rid of him. It just depends how much he loses, you know, how much he loses. I mean, if we were to lose every game, like in the if we were to lose the next four games, five games, you know, like by ridiculous, like against teams that we should not be losing against, right? And we get kicked out of the UCL or something like that. The first game against Atlanta, like Atalanta, they beat us like 6-0 or something like that. I'm pretty sure they'll make a they'll make an exception to that, you know. So, but either way, the idea is I feel like he's going to be on till the end of the season. But I but for me, the one thing that I felt at the beginning of the when they brought back Zidane was there was Zidane came back to Real Madrid at the right time in the sense that Real Madrid felt, and a lot of Madridistas felt they were in a crisis. With Lopetegui and then Solari, and we weren't performing well, and it was another season of just, you know, no results. So Zidane had a bargaining chip. Yes, I'll come back, but you bring me the players that I want. You let me run the team however I want. You don't give me shit. You know, and I think that's the way it was for quite some time. And it has somewhat still been there. You know, Pedrerol, Josep Pedrerol, who is the, you know, head host of El Chiringuito. You know, he had he said it in one of his, you know, monologues, I guess, at the beginning of the show, where it was Zidane no se toca. You don't touch Zidane. And that seems to be, and what he was saying was that that seems to was the club's sort of moniker as of late. It was the club's sort of motto as of late. It was their, what they were defending themselves with, was that Zidane would not be touched. And to be honest with you, like I still believe in the guy. I dislike his arrogance. I dislike his stubbornness, but I still believe, I still... think he is a good coach. He just needs to evolve. But the problem with somebody stubborn and egocentric a little bit is going to be it's difficult for them to evolve and change. But he can his hand can be forced, you know. And I'm gonna I think we're gonna see a little bit more hand wringing in this end towards the end of the season. Where they're going to tell him, you know, we want you to play certain more guys. We want you to do more rotations, regardless of what the old guard is telling you. We need that. We have invested money in this youth players. We want them to get be given shots. I think there's going to be a little bit more hand-wringing. But I think Zidane will leave at the end of the season because of the fact that his bargaining chip that brought him back to Real Madrid will be gone. I think it's gone already. He no longer has what they call carte blanche or a blank check to do whatever he wants. So he will be leaving. And then it's to be seen who are we going to get in, you know, there's been talk about Gallardo, Marcelo Gallardo, who's from River Plate. You know, we reported on that. I mean, I don't, it was from a source that I don't know if is that entirely reliable. Obviously, there's talk about Raul. There's talk about Nagelsmann. Even Nagelsmann brought it up, saying, you know, that he was flattered that he was brought up in the discussion, but nothing has been said. You know, there's a lot of people that have been sort of, you know, brought into the mix, so to speak, regarding the position of coaching at Real Madrid. But I really do feel we will see that at the end of the season, and that this revolution that everyone was so keen on seeing. And wanted to see happen, it will happen. And I don't see, I honestly think Zidane will not be a part of it at the end of the season. And I real think, and I do think we're going to get, you know, some of our youth players back, Reguilon, Brahim. I do believe we're going to get back. We'll see what happens with Jovic, depending on if they make any signings, if we do get somebody like a Haaland or an Mbappe. But we're going to see stuff like that. And then it just remains to be seen, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, we're still wondering what's going to happen with Sergio Ramos. Alaba is supposed to come, you know. There's still that they've supposedly agreed. But it's not been, you know, anything's been set in stone yet. So there's a lot of rumors and things of yes and no. And, you know, and Martino de Gaia is already gone. You know, he's already going to be going to Arsenal, but he's going to be gone. He's going to be coming back at the end of the season. So there's a lot of those things that are happening right now, which are going to be dreadful for the rest of the season for us. But every team has growing pains. You know, every team goes through these cycles. And the thing is, we've been spoiled by the fact that we had a man named Cristiano Ronaldo on the team that brought us a lot of goals and, you know, brought us a lot of happiness. But eras come to an end. And when those eras come to the end, they're painful, they're hurtful. You struggle. Fair weather fans go to another team. And, you know, and respectfully, good riddance, you know. Good riddance to those type of fans. You know, I'm with Real Madrid. Listen, I'm with Real Madrid through thick and thin. I don't care if they go to second division. I'd still be listening. I'd still be watching games. You know, it's just what it is. You know, you get it. You have a team and you go for it. You know, I was a fan of Liverpool when they weren't winning anything. I've been a fan of Napoli and they're not winning anything. Yeah, had a terrible game today. They lost against Verona, you know, Elas Verona, you know. So you know, you follow the teams and you go for them, you know. So that's what you do. And there's a lot of Madridistas that just wanted, you know, I'm not going to watch the game today because Lucas Vazquez started. Or I'm not going to watch the game today because, you know, Zidane's playing, not putting Asensio on the field. Or he's putting Asensio on the field. I'm sorry. Or I'm not going to watch the game because Isco's playing. Or I'm not going to watch the game ever again because they're boring. Yeah, well, and you're not a fan. So that's how I feel about that. And then, you know, we get a performance like the performance against Alaves, and you know, it made me happy. And it was that's why this is more of a happy podcast. I'm upbeat. I still think there's a chance for La Liga. You know, I see Madridista saying, you know, there's no chance for us to win, you know, because 7 points, Atletico's at 7 points now, and they got a game in hand. And yeah, man, I saw Atletico play today, and they're no joke. But neither, I mean, Valencia is not playing up to par, and neither is many teams in the league. Neither. And here's the thing, neither are many teams in the entire world. You know, all the teams are like, there's every team that we thought was doing good or we thought was good has looked terrible. There's a lot of teams that are not looking great. I mean, look at Ligue 1 is for the first time, I think, in many years, competitive. Serie A is for the first time in many years, competitive. You know, PSG is tied with Lille on points. Serie A, you know, you have a bunch of teams fighting. You know, you have Inter Milan up there. You have AC Milan. You have Juventus. You have Roma. They're all fighting for position. In the Premier League, yeah. You know, you had Manchester United all of a sudden. You know, and then Liverpool struggling. You know, and then in Germany, you have Mönchengladbach, and you have Bayern, and you have, Wolfsburg is up there. I mean, there's teams fighting there as well. Dortmund isn't doing as good, even though, you know, Haaland is great, but Dortmund has lost games. Bayern lost to a third-tier team and got kicked out of the Pokal, you know. So, I mean, it's not only Real Madrid that is failing. It's not only Barcelona. And then Atletico Madrid, on the other hand, looks amazing. Looks like they're absolutely flying. You know? But and everyone's like, this is Atletico Madrid's year. They're going to win. They're going to win everything. As if we haven't seen that teams slip up. That teams slip up all the time. There are still, 18 games left to play? You know, 18 or what is it? Or 16 games left to play? I don't have the number in front of me. But there's still, you know, a lot of games left. There's still a lot of points left. Granted, Real Madrid would need to win their games, but Real Madrid has had no problem playing the tough teams. They've had problem playing the bottom half teams, and they played well against Alaves. I mean, Alaves was, once again, you know, for me, it showed that to me, again, I mean, and like I said, you know, take that with a grain of salt, because I am a absolute Modric fan. I am absolutely obsessed with the guy. He's my favorite player, but he's shown to me this year, and to a lot of you, and to a lot of Madridistas, and to a lot of people all around the world, the reason that he is considered amongst one of the best midfielders, and why he won the Ballon d'Or, and why he probably deserved it. For all the shit they gave him. Because he is absolutely the best player that we have on the team. Along with Kudos. But when they're together is when they are far, you know, they just both play off each other and they're amazing. That is the truth. Had we had them on the field against Alcoyano, I don't think we'd be having the conversation of, I don't think we'd be worried. I think the conversation would have been different. I think we would have been walking away with a win. But you have to rest players, and you have to rotate. And that's where Zidane once again made a huge mistake, because you put in, you had players that had barely seen any playing time with the first team, and you decide that you're going to go out against Alcoyano in a cup game that is a one-game elimination where there are not two legs, so teams play their hearts out, especially these third division teams that have already, you know, killed other giants like Atletico Madrid and Celta Vigo. You know, they've killed other, you know, first division teams and knocked them out of the cup. And you're going to go in there and put in a just ridiculous, just a starting lineup that wasn't going to win anything like that. And then you try to get the, you know, you try to save face in the second half by bringing in, you know, all your starters, which were supposed to be resting, and you come up short. You know? And it's the players that are not getting minutes, so you played the players that are not only not getting minutes, but it just their form hasn't been showing. You know? And granted, you know, we should have won that game regardless, because even our bench is better than them. But at the same time, if they're not rotating, if they don't feel confident, if they haven't been even playing minutes, what is the use? You know, it just seems like for me, it's like either he was trying to, I would say, just tell all the naysayers, kind of tell, you know, he was trying to butter up all the people that have been telling him to rotate. And said, hey, you know, we're going to put him during Copa del Rey. We're going to put in Lunin. We're going to put in Militao. We're going to put in Odriozola. You know, we're going to put in Chust. You know, we're going to play all these guys that haven't had any minutes. Marcelo. You know, we're going to bring in all these players. Isco. And we're going to expect to walk away with a win, you know. And it's also, you know, for me, it's like disrespectful to the other team too. You're just telling them, nah, man, we could field our shittiest starting 11, and we're gonna run right over you. Expecting that they're just gonna lay down and be like, nah, we're gonna just let you guys beat us, because it's the honorable thing. We're so excited, you know, because Alcoyano was so excited to play Real Madrid. They were so excited. It was such an honor to play Real Madrid. And we were so happy to play them. And you think they were just going to go out there and you know, get starstruck and not play and not try to look their best, knowing that they were playing some of the best guys in the world, so they want to try to go out there and play the best guys in the world. And, a 41-year-old goalkeeper, you know, just made, you know, our entire attack look like garbage. So it was tactics, and it was just bad decisions, and it was underestimating the opponent, and it was players just being total garbage, and that's everything that happened. And then you go out against Alaves and you bring in the players, and the players have the players that actually seem that they want to be out there, such as guys like Modric, who, you know, and Casemiro and Kroos, and And, you know, and those are the guys that are playing well, you know, and Hazard, you know, I think, you know, I'm happy that Hazard scored, and I, you know, people are going to read, we read a lot into it. But I'm happy for him. I'm so happy that he had a good game, that he, you know, he got his goal. I was rooting for him to score a goal the whole time, that he got an assist. I was rooting for Benzema to get, you know, to get back on the score sheet, and they did it. And those are the guys that we need to score, you know. I'm liking a little bit more what I'm seeing from Asensio, but I don't think he's somebody, you know, he's one of those guys that should be one of a squad. He's a squad player. Unless he shows more, he's a squad player. And Lucas Vazquez is a squad player too, you know. I think Militao has shown me, you know, I think Militao is pretty solid. You know, I like him. I think the mistakes that we've seen him make have been mistakes that he's made because he hasn't been playing a lot. But he made one mistake, which essentially cost us a goal because, you know, the foul that was committed was his foul. He committed the foul, and then he lost. He didn't cover. Was it Joselu that ended up scoring? He was the one who lost his marker. So, you know, he was at fault for the goal, but, you know, thankfully, you know, the fact that we won the game is going to, you know, kind of iron out that. But the rest of the game was pretty solid by Militao. And I really think he needs more time. And I think he did a good job. I think he's, the times I've seen him, he hasn't been terrible. But I think he's a young guy. So I think he's one of the guys that I would keep around. I think he needs more time. Odegaard, like I said, he's the one that I think broke the straw that broke the camel's back, because I don't think we ever saw, sure, we didn't see him have like an absolutely amazing game, but we didn't see him have a bad game where you would say Odegaard was terrible. No, and we know that he has a lot of potential to be great, you know. But it's just at this point, the names on the list are the names on the list, and I think all of you guys know what the names on the list are. You know, the guys that need to go are, like I said, you know, I brought up in that video I made for Real Madrid Hub, which is our YouTube channel, the idea that, you know, that I brought up that quote from The Dark Knight, which was heroes, they either die or they live long enough to become villains. And unfortunately, that's what's happening with Marcelo. I think Marcelo, the reports are saying that he's going to leave at the end of the season. I think that's a good move by him, because I think, you know, a lot of people still love Marcelo, me included. He has been an amazing Madridista, has given so much for the club, and should leave with that legendary, you know, that love they have, that Madridistas have for him intact. You know, not continuing to play him into a point where everybody just hates his guts, you know. So it's got, you know, he's got to go. Isco's got to go. You know, I just don't understand what the issue is with Isco. I don't understand what the issue is with Lucas Vazquez. Sure, he's tough. Sure, he's industrious. Sure, he's professional. Sure, he loves the club. But we are at a lack of goals. We are at a lack of, you know, that world-class Real Madrid that we've always known about. We've always been. And Lucas Vazquez isn't that guy. I would say keep him if he's going to know that he's going to be a squad player. But if he's demanding a raise, you know, and if you're going to use him over players that are younger and I would say have more talent, in the sense that they're at an age where they're going to grow more, guys like Rodrigo when he's not injured, guys like Kubo, if we ever, you know, if they end up bringing him back, you know, all these other players, you know, that's where I, you know, say, hey, you know, just let him go. Mariano too. I don't think Mariano is, we need to, you know, bring back, Jovic needs to come back. I think Jovic is still solid. You know, and the one thing, one of the things I wanted to say too was, a lot of people were going on about this whole thing against of Jovic scoring and again, you know, in Frankfurt in 77 minutes, and he scored 3 goals for Frankfurt already, you know, in the games that he played against Schalke. And then he played against, well, he's played 3 games. So he played against Schalke, he played against Freiburg, didn't score against Freiburg, and then scored against Bielefeld, I think it's called. Bielefeld, I don't know. But it's amazing to me how, like I said, once again, Madridistas and the press and everybody is reactionary. Oh, see Zidane, you know, he scored 3 goals and he's been, you know, he's been prolific in the first, you know, 3 games that he's been back with Eintracht, and we missed out on that. Yeah, man, he scored, and I understand this. I mean, he scored against 2 bottom table teams, and not to say he's not going to do that against the higher level teams, and not to, you know, crap on what he did. So he scored against 2 lower level teams, and you're giving him shit for it. But you're giving Zidane crap for it. But this was something I wrote to my friend Trombach. It's amazing to me because at the same time, yeah, he scored those games in 77 minutes with 2 starts, 2 off the bench performances for Frankfurt and against Schalke and Bielefeld. But he was given more than 1,000 minutes of playing time at Real Madrid. This whole narrative that he didn't play at all is not true. He was given time, and he was given time to play games. And it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, or tour, you know, this whole podcast has kind of been about, is that perhaps the system doesn't fit him. So he shines with another team where the system does fit him, that plays 2 strikers, which is something we're not accustomed to, or he wasn't, you know, it doesn't happen here where he's playing lone striker. And not only is he playing lone striker, but he's having an issue with, there's, you know, the balls that he's being fed from our wingers are garbage too. Because our wingers aren't that great right now. So you are going to have a guy who, yeah, is doing, making some good runs and trying to score the goals and whatever, but he is not in a system that is playing up to his strengths, and he doesn't have wingers on the, you know, if you are playing a 4-3-3 that are up to par to feed him the ball that he needs. So that's one issue. And the other issue again is pressure. There is a lot of pressure on the kid to perform at Real Madrid. A lot of pressure. And it's like a pressure valve. And then it's got all this built up pressure, all this stuff on top of him, you know, and he's a young kid. You only can take so much. He was given chances, but wasn't able to score. So they automatically sit him down. And then he goes back to Eintracht and they take, you know, the pressure valve is released and he gets to play in a system where not everybody's looking at him, you know. Again, no, there's not all this, you know, media pressure to perform. He's at a team he was already comfortable in, with players he's already played with. And he's got the second striker where, in this sense, he's got another striker there. In this sense, it was Andre Silva, who drags the defenders and ends up leaving him tons of space to score goals. So you got to look at things in perspective instead of just saying, oh, you know, he's so amazing, and then Zidane didn't play him. Yeah, he's amazing. I think he's talented, and I like Luka Jovic, and I want him to come back. Do I think he's better than Haaland if we can get Haaland? No, I don't know. We don't even know if Haaland comes here and he doesn't. What if Haaland comes here and he doesn't respond the way we want him to respond? Is it because he's a dud? Is it because he's a flop? Or is it, again, because he might not fit into the system, doesn't fit with the team, doesn't get used to the way, the style we play, doesn't get used to La Liga? There are so many factors that can make or break a player. Very few players are like Cristiano Ronaldo that can go to any any league and automatically become like the star of any league. You know, there are very few players like that. You know, So you can't always judge other players by that, and especially a kid who's like 20-something years old. So, you know, Haaland might come and then be a flop. And then we'll be like, well, Jovic was better, and we let go of Jovic. And then Jovic might come back after having a stellar rest of the season with Eintracht and come back and fall into the same situation again. It's understanding how to use the player and whether or not the player is going to be able to function within that system. There are a lot of factors that play into, you know, players getting into, you know, it's, I think people need to stop looking at them at like, we need to stop looking at them as machines and start looking at them as like normal human beings. They just happen to have an immense talent, but that factors such as issues with family, issues with language, issues with players, issues with coaches, whatever it is, issues with the system, positioning, all those types of things playing a factor in what is going to get the best out of a player. That's what we also have to look at. Some players are amazing and are going to hit the ground running. Like, honestly, that's why I back Rodrigo a lot more than I back Vinicius, because why has Rodrigo taken less time to understand the Real Madrid system? And, you know, he's come on. He's not as fast as Vinicius. He's not as daring when it comes to his runs. But he's so much more clinical when it comes to scoring. It just seems like he got with the team a lot quicker. And that's what happens at Madrid. Madrid is one of those type of teams where you either do or you die, you know? You sink or swim, you know? You get there, and if you don't show what you got in a few games out, chances are you're not going to be playing that much. But if you showcase a lot of talent right away, you know, they're going to give you more minutes, and you're going to shine more. I mean, that's what happened with Asensio when he came, and he was playing really well, and a lot of people liked him. He was having some games where he was amazing, and he scored against Barcelona in the Super and in La Supercopa, and you know we did amazing. He did amazing, and then he got injured, and he's been back, and he hasn't been playing the same. So there's ebbs and flows to form, but you know he was given chances because he was talented. Now he's been giving more chances than he should be getting, but it's also because there's nobody else. You know, and Rodrigo's injured. But Rodrigo was getting more start time than Asensio was. And I like Rodrigo, I'll tell you. I think he has more of a I think his value, or at least for me, his stock has gone up more than Vinicius's has. Does that mean Vinicius can't go back to, because Vinicius has showed us too that he's got talent. I just don't know. I mean, I think you're sure, maybe if he gets more playing time or whatever, but it's how much do you guys want to wait? How much do we want to wait to get to that, right? And I think it's also like with Hazard. Look, we're not giving him full games and running out of because, you know, number one, they're trying to protect him from injury. But they're going to give him more chances, and he showed in Alaves what we want to see from him. You know, but he needs more time to get to that too, to get back to that form. But the reason you're going to give more playing time to somebody like Hazard over a player like, let's say, Odegaard, was because you didn't pay 150 million euros for Hazard or whatever it is they paid for them. You didn't pay hundreds of millions. So you don't pay hundreds of millions of euros for a player and then not play the guy. You know? Unless he's Gareth Bale, but I mean, that's a whole other situation, but you don't pay for somebody like that and then not play him. And they don't automatically. And the thing is, people know what Hazard can do, or we knew what Hazard could do because we saw him at Chelsea, and then he came to Real Madrid and he hasn't, same thing. He just hasn't fit yet. And then he's not been able to fit because of injuries and all the issues he's had, but we never know. What if he finally wakes up and goes back to that? Is he ever going to go back to that 100% Chelsea? I mean, he's an older guy now, but I think he's still got it in him, and he's shown that he's got the talent, and I'm super happy that he got the goals and was scored in the goal and the assist and looked good and walked away with and without an injury. I think that was a good thing by Zidane to take him off and put somebody else in, and it was because we were already up on the score line. You know, those are the types of things. They want to protect him, and we want to see more from him because they invested in him. And you're going to see him play because of the fact that they invested a lot of money. It's, once again, it's a business. If I paid a lot of money for somebody, I want to see them on the field. I don't care if the other guy's playing a little bit better, but he didn't cost me that much. And he's also younger, so he's got more time to improve. So there are certain decisions there that you make, you know? But I don't know. I mean, I'm so once again, I guess I'm going to finish up by saying this. I'm going to finish up by saying, it's not all Zidane's fault, but a lot of it is his fault. I think he's stubborn. I think he's got an ego. I think he needs to check that ego at the door, at least till the remainder of the season, and start, you know, buying into the club's tack, the buying into what the club wants, which is focusing on the youth players. I think we're going to suffer continuously, guys. Unless Luka Modric and Kroos can continue playing this way and not get injured and not get tired, which isn't humanly possible, we are going to suffer in games. But if Hazard picks up and Asensio picks up and, you know, Valverde comes back and we have ways to include them in the starting 11 and rotate, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. Are we going to win the Champions League? Highly doubtful. Will I cheer them on for every single one of those games? Yes. Will I hope they win? Yeah. Do I still think we have a chance in La Liga? Yeah, I do. Because 7 points with a game in hand is a lot, but it's not. It's still, you know, there still are chances where a team has a drop in form or an injury, or something causes the other team, something causes Atletico in this case, to have a rough go of games. And as long as they have that rough go of games and we don't, then, you know, there's a chance for us to do better and continue. And at the end of the day, win La Liga. And then the conversations will be so much different. And then will people still hate on Zidane? Will he still leave would be the question. But I think, honestly, in my opinion, I think he'll leave. I think I think at this point he's staying out of respect for the institution. I'm pretty sure they're paying him a pretty penny. And he's going to stick around. But he doesn't seem like he likes to be told how to manage and what to do exactly and who to play and what, you know, and I'm pretty sure the media pressure, he doesn't like it. And the questions consistently about, you know, other players that he doesn't play by reporters. So I'm sure he steps down. But whoever comes has to know that that's what they're setting themselves up for. A lot of pressure from the media, a lot of pressure from Madridistas. And I guarantee you guys, this time next year, if we have somebody that's not named Zidane, I'm going to be having this podcast, and there's going to be a bunch of Madridistas on Twitter who hate whoever it is we have as coach, and we'll have hashtag whatever his name is out, because that is what Madrid is. It's a highly demanding team with highly demanding fans, with some fans who don't know how to, I don't know, check emotion at the door. With some fans who just want instant gratification, that we have to win absolutely everything all the time, never can falter, never can go through a restructuring or, you know, rebuilding phase ever, you know. And the fact that it's in a pandemic and all this type of stuff, you know, don't take that into account either, you know. So yeah, there's just a lot of stuff there. I mean, it's wild. But I'll leave by saying this. I mean, I was happy for the Alaves game. Once again, happy for Hazard, happy for Modric and Kroos. And when those guys are on the field, I mean, it's amazing. And I want Sergio Ramos back. I want him to be, you know, playing for us. And hopefully he stays. Now there's rumors about Varane obviously saying that he wants to leave at the end of the season. So who knows? I mean, we're going through so many different emotions right now with this. But a la Madrid, man, you know, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on, you know, cheering on this team all the time through thick and thin, through ups and downs, having mini heart attacks each time they play, and hoping that at the end of the season we have some silverware to show for all the stress we've had to endure. But if not, we just keep on going and you keep on being fans of what is the best team in the world, guys. That's what we're here for, all right? So, Ala Madrid, thank you for listening to the podcast. So, with that said, guys, remember you can follow me on Inadamas on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then our website is inadamas.net. And also our email is info@inadamas.net. That is where you can contact us for any sponsorship info. If you guys want to, you know, if you want me to read endorse your product or whatever, just let me know. That kind of stuff. It's all good by me. And or contact me if you want to write for us on the website. Please let me know. We are looking for writers. In addition to that, remember to please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Real Madrid Hub. So look it up on YouTube as Real Madrid Hub. You know, once we get to 100 subscribers, we can change and have an actual like named URL. So help us get to 100 subscribers. Check us out there. We're posting up things daily during the week. And I'm doing that in conjunction with Jota Real Madrid. So please follow him as well. Jota Real Madrid is his page on YouTube. So, yeah. So, you know, that's everything I got for now. And thank you for listening again, guys. So much support for all of you that follow on Twitter and have, you know, liked the content, man. Really appreciative, you know, of all that. You know, my editors are happy. The guys that work with me are excited. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much for the support. And I'll talk to you again soon. Catch me on Real Madrid Hub during the week and Inada Mas Podcast on the weekend, guys. All right. Thank you very much.
This has been Inada Mas, Al Real Madrid Podcast.